Overbooked and Opinionated.
Your favorite best friend book club podcast.
With Liz.
And Pooh.
And Gammy.
Nice.
All right.
You know, if you say it two more times, you have to give Matthew McConaughey money.
You know what you should do before we talk anymore is tell the people our rating.
Oh, dear God.
Because I'm going to mess it all up.
And yeah, she's going to say things about Matthew McConaughey.
I sure was.
Just for those of you listening at home, so you are aware, we are an explicit podcast. We say adult things about adult books, we talk about sexy time, and we say bad words. So please be mindful of whoever might be listening alongside you.
That was great. Thank you.
You can say bad words now.
Fuck.
There it is.
Okay, God, I was like sweating holding that in. God, okay, guys, it's May.
It is May.
You know what's in May?
Your birthday?
My birthday month. My birthday month. But more importantly, May is Brain Cancer Awareness Month. In May, we wear gray. If you guys haven't noticed, the girls and I, we're all wearing gray to support my best friend, Emily, who is currently in the hospital battling brain cancer. We are going to add her t-shirts and her GoFundMe link into the show notes below. If you would like to support Emily, those proceeds all go towards offsetting some of the costs towards her cancer treatments. And if not, just wear gray, post it, tag us in the comments and in your social media posts so that way we can show Emily some love. Sound good? We love Absolutely. You, Em.
We love you, Em.
What are we talking about today?
There is one more thing happening in May. What? Much less important than the other two, but still very important for the history of this book club. The 10-year anniversary of A Court of Thorns and Roses.
Is that what we're doing today?
That might be what we're doing today.
Is that what we're doing today? The book?
The book that started this whole podcast. Actually, not the podcast. The book the that book. Started the book club, period. Club.
The book club book. Yeah. The original.
The OG.
The first betrayal.
The first betrayal's crazy.
So a full-blown yapathon on A Court of Thorns and Roses.
Heck yeah.
I'm about it.
So before we get into our new segment where we give you guys a brief recap from Pooh about what the book is about, and before we get into our spoiler-free review, we're going to quickly warn you guys listening that while this episode will be covering ACOTAR, the first book in the A Court of Thorns and Roses series, we are going to be talking about the rest of the books as well. I'm sure we will be mentioning them at some point. Like, there's going to be spoilers for the whole series. So if you've only read ACOTAR, not the rest of the series, it probably isn't the episode for you.
Well, Pooh, do you want to do the honors?
All right. So ACOTAR, for anybody who hasn't read it, is about a 19-year-old girl named Feyre, and she's going into the woods to hunt and take care of her family, and she kills a wolf. That wolf is actually from the Fey realm, so after she kills it, their High Lord comes to take her and kidnap her as punishment, and the book is about her acclimating into their culture and meeting everybody, but then you find out while she's there that there's a dark presence in the Fey realm that is kind of taking over, and... Yeah.
That was nice. No spoilers.
Yeah.
Good job, Pooh.
I read that book.
Round of applause. I'm proud of her.
I was nervous.
You killed it. You crushed it.
She's like, what spoilers can I fit into this sentence?
The quiet chaos queen.
Literally. So, Liz, do you want to start us off on your spoiler-free review?
Absolutely. So, I read this book after seeing it on Bookstagram when it was just starting to get popular. And I was really confused. And I feel like I need to justify this before I give you guys my star rating. I genuinely didn't understand what was wrong with the internet. I thought there was some mass delusion going on. I was like, okay, bro, this is Beauty and the Beast with a different skin.
Yeah.
But having now read the rest of the series, I completely understand the hype. And I'm absolutely in love with these characters. But that being said, the first book, while it was great, it didn't get great until the end of the book for me. So I gave it a 3.
Okay, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is so fair. I think that the first book was the worst book in the series, and it was still good for me. I like the novella. I know some people are like, doesn't count. I actually like the novella. I thought it was sweet. But for the
very surprised.
Really? Yeah, no,
yeah,
I liked it.
Thought you would have thought the
I
last
liked
one
it.
Was the worst.
Mm. Yeah, I actually like the novella. But the ACOTAR, the first book, for me, I gave it a 4. I really liked it. Like, I share very similar thoughts to you in that it was very, like, Beauty and the Beast. In the beginning, I was just like, oh, this is annoying. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't like it too much. But the end just really, like, caught me. And I was like, oh, my God. I have to pick up the next book, like, yep. immediately. I needed to grab it as soon as possible. And I devoured the rest of that series in, like, 2 days. Yep. I was obsessed after that. So while, like, the beginning of the book was a very slow start, and I wasn't necessarily in love with everything that was happening, it really helped with, like, the understanding the world in the next few books.
Yeah.
I really liked it. So my overall rating for that was a 4 for the first book.
Yeah.
Who?
I think it's been a long time, so obviously my view's a little distorted from when I first read it. But now I would give it a 3.
Okay.
A lot of it fell flat for me. I didn't like the book until, like you guys said, the end. And then, like, some of it just, I didn't, you know what I mean? It just, from the start, the characters in the first book are not great. They're not what the rest of the books are. So, I didn't really like that book until the very end. And I had to really push through it. I really did.
You did.
Yeah.
But you know what I think is really interesting? That we all share very similar feelings about this book and the rest of the series. Like, yeah. we all agree that this one was the worst one. And we have the same... Really?
This goes to my whole issue with Sarah J. Maas. So I'll talk... We can talk about it more in the spoiler. I have beef with... I forget the name of it. The third book.
That's Mist and Fury, right?
No.
Mist no. And Fury, War and Ruin. A Court of War and Ruin.
Okay. The purple one. We'll talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about it. But with that being said, I think all of our thoughts on the first book do align for the most part, which is
pretty for sure.
rare. Which is pretty rare.
Yeah.
And I, like, this book really changed my entire trajectory of, like, the reading path that I was going to take going forward. I had never picked up a fantasy book before, except, like, doesn't count, right? Hunger Games, Percy Jackson, like, those are, like,
they
YA.
They count. They're still
like,
YA.
Yeah, they're YA. But they count. But, like, I had never dipped my toes into, like, a...
Adult fantasy,
yeah. romanticy. Like, this was my first ever, like, plunge.
Yeah.
And let me tell you how I jumped in head first after
that. Oh, absolutely.
And now, like, that is one of my favorite genres ever. Mm-hmm. So I owe that to this book, so it has a very special place in my heart.
Oh, yeah.
I love it.
I think this, like, book, regardless of anything else, is always going to be very special to me just because it got you at first into this genre, but then it brought Pooh into this book club too, and I feel like this book club has become such an important and big part of at least my life. I can't speak for you guys, but
I know us too.
Yeah,
definitely us too. So the fact that we like all mm-hmm. one agreed
yep.
on our first ever romanticy book
yeah.
was crazy, and that it brought us so close together. I mean, I think that just deserves mm-hmm. a great big hug from yeah. me. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah.
So what is our overall rating for this book?
Overall, yeah. we gave it a 3.3 repeating.
Okay. And that's fine. That's fine.
That's pretty good, especially for one that is, I think, pretty universally, with my beef aside, like, known as the worst book in the series.
Yeah, that's fair. Well, let's get into it.
All right.
Heads up.
Final warning.
Spoiler-free review is over, guys. If you haven't read ACOTAR or any of the following books, please be warned. Be careful, because it's going down now. It's going down.
I'm yelling timber.
All right, are you ready?
You better move. I'm sorry, I'm done. Yeah.
Last chance. Warning. Please exit now.
I need to find a soundboard with, like, police sirens or something. Alrighty.
Yeah. So, I hate Feyre's sisters. In the first book, don't care. Yep. Hate them. Them little privileged fucking babies. And you know what? They're not. So, like, the entire first book is about how Feyre's family is poor, Feyre's dad sucks ass, Feyre's older sister sucks ass, and her little sister just wants to sit outside and plant fucking flowers!
Yeah.
And which is wild, because hold up, bitch, with your green thumb, you couldn't plant no fucking fruit?
No potatoes. Not a single potato.
No, just flowers.
Just flowers?
My family is starving, but, like, these primroses are real cute.
I really want some fucking lilies.
Yeah, dog!
But Feyre's, like, out here, and she's like, taking one for the team, literally, hunting, trading for shit. Like, this poor girl, she's the middle child, and she's just...
No, she's the youngest. Feyre's the youngest.
Oh, I thought Elaine was the youngest. No. Oh, that's even more embarrassing.
Feyre's the youngest.
I, like, cannot. Like, I can't. I can't. Ugh, I hated her family so much. And that doesn't really change for me throughout the series. I know I'm going to get the hate. I still, by the last book, was not a Nesta fan. Mm-hmm. Like, it was nice to see her grow. But as an eldest sister, I could not vibe with her. Because I'd be damned if I ever let my younger sibling take care of everything while I just sit there and be a bitch to everyone. Absolutely not. Go fuck yourself. Like, I can't. Sorry.
I feel you. I'm sure you guys have seen this at this point, but that whole... I don't know what to call it. That thing online where people say, you either love or hate Nesta. You love her if you've been her, and you hate her if you know her. Like,
yeah.
I feel like that's very true. But at the same time, I don't think I'm Nesta, and I no longer hate her. I hated her the first time I read the last book, but I don't hate her anymore. I fucking hated her. In the first book, dog. I was ready to knock that bitch out. I was like, girl, you're so fucking capable. Like, they talk all this time about how she has this fury and this badassery, even in the first fucking book, of how she has this fire to her. But on principle, she refuses to help their father. Bitch, you have two sisters, and she dotes on Elaine.
Yeah, like, yeah. What the, yeah. You're making it like he's the only fucking one being fed. Right,
even if she didn't like Feyre. Like
Elaine? Elaine's like, it's okay. Because she plants flowers.
Yes, it's all about, the flowers.
No, I could not. But, so then it gets crazy, right? Because, like, you're reading this book and you're like, okay, this poor girl, like, has a horrible family. And then they're like, surprise, there's Faye. And I'm like, oh.
I'm sorry, my brain just went, surprise, motherfucker. But, like, it was the guy from Dexter, but he had pointed ears.
That's good. We should make that.
That's a good one. We should
make that.
Yeah, Tamlin, yeah. Be like. I know.
Surprise, shouty.
Hey, yo, girl, you killed my man. You want to fuck?
Yeah, I thought.
I need to chill.
That was. No, never chill.
We love it. Never we love chill. It.
Yeah, so then Tamlin shows up because Feyre kills one of the wolves that was his brethren.
Mm-hmm.
And then he shows up and he's like, you come with me. Or I kill your family. Breaks her fucking door down.
That's my tampon impression.
Yeah, tampon. We call him tampon, guys. The internet calls him tampon. I think
the internet is right.
Yeah, I think that's like really fitting.
You know what really I'm going to do? I'm going to find my greatest enemy. I'm going to get you to read ACOTAR. And I'm going to tell you how much I love Tamlin and how great he gets, and get you a Tamlin tattoo.
Dude, I've seen that online.
Did you see the woman that
she
got
read
Tamlin?
The first one?
Do you think that's real? Do you think it's real? I don't think it's real.
I don't know, but I want it to be.
I would do it. I'm an asshole.
Can you imagine, though, like, you know, like, we get tattoos for books? Can you imagine somebody who didn't, like, who read the first book and the rest of the series didn't come out yet?
Oh, my God. This could be a fun challenge.
And they fucking got the tattoo, and now they're like, what the fuck did I do? But the other books weren't out yet.
Oh, my God! Yeah!
Like, if you didn't read after the first book, you would have still liked him.
Dude, I actually saw people saying that people were getting Zayden tattoos after reading Fourth Wing and then being like, bro, what if like Zayden dies and he's not even the main character after the first book? Like, that was wild.
Well, yeah. Well, luckily she confirmed that's not the case.
So. She did.
But we'll see what happens with that.
You never know with Rebecca Yarros.
No, yeah. Well, I don't think
he's going to die. I really like the Spring Court. I
did too.
I really liked it. I thought it was so cute. So, the Spring Court is the court that, like, Tamlin rules over. What's his friend's name that's there with him? Who is that?
Lucien.
Yeah, I love Lucien, too. I really did like him.
Lucien's actually one of my favorite characters from the series. Yeah, I think he's got one of the most interesting histories to him.
I really liked him. I really liked his role in the whole book, in the whole series, actually. I really found myself loving him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But, okay, so then Feyre and Tamlin kiss. But, like, they start out as enemies, obviously, right? And it's really very much giving Beauty and the Beast. Like, he's literally, like, his animal is, like, an actual beast. And she's beautiful and doesn't know how to read, which I thought was is the best way you could take that with Belle. They're like, actually, let's fucking not let her read.
I have a super weird poll. Have you guys seen or read Beastly?
No.
The book. So it's literally a Beauty and the Beast retelling, but instead of it being about, like, a literal beast, it's a high school narcissist, and it's played by Alex Pettyfer, and he's fucking beautiful.
I've seen the movie.
Yeah, and Vanessa Hudgens. And he, instead of, like, his beast version of himself is just, like, he loses his hair, and he's covered in scars and tattoos, and, like, it's, I don't know why, but instead of ACOTAR being a retelling of Beauty and the Beast, to me, ACOTAR is a retelling of Beastly. Like, a small minor aesthetic change that doesn't actually change all that much about it in the being, and like, the whole, it's a
thing. I don't, but I don't think she could have read. Could you imagine? Could you imagine? No. That's every reader's fantasy. Like, hold the fuck up. If I got kidnapped from my shitty family, and you were going to give me an extensive library.
Literally, in this beautiful kingdom, like, this beautiful
where I had no responsibilities, I could just read all day.
Like, and paint. Gorgeous man who's, like, kind of hot. You know what I mean?
And,
like,
gorgeous men. They're both hot.
Yeah. Threesomes all day. You know what I mean? Like, I'd be like, okay.
What would you be like? I'm sorry. What would you be like for the people who are listening and not watching? She's, I'm not describing that.
Okay.
Two types of people.
When she says fondling, she just means my boobs, which is really nothing.
No, she took her pants off. No, never mind. I'm sorry.
Oh, God. See, this is why we put the rating in here, guys.
We are earning our explicit tag today.
So, oh God, yeah. So we talk about, like, how slow it is. I love the description of the Spring Court. I love the animosity between the two main characters.
Yes.
I thought that was good. And then I was, like, so annoyed when they're like, don't go outside, Feyre.
And she's like, I'm going to go the fuck outside.
You don't understand what's going to happen to you.
Yeah, when he says, like, it's super dangerous tonight.
And she goes,
Feyre, don't go to the party. The party will kill you.
Pass. This sign can't stop me.
Because I can't read.
Literally just her. I'm just like, bitch. And then, you know what I thought was crazy? I'm just going to skip ahead a little bit. Like, after that, when he's just, like, trying to fuck her, and she's like, yeah. And, like, doesn't Lucien come in and, like,
I kind of like stop that.
No.
He didn't. He didn't stop it.
No. He stopped himself.
On the night of Calamai, on the
he made
the right.
A comment the next day when he seen,
he saw the giant bruise because she was like, oh my gosh, I should wear a turtleneck and cover this. And she's like, no, the fuck, I shouldn't. 5 minutes later, she's like, no, the fuck, I shouldn't. He bit me.
Yeah.
And then Lucien's like, guys.
I didn't, like, love that part. I just thought, like, it was like,
Let's try and get slightly more structured here because we're just, like, full yapping. Let's try to focus on character first.
Characters, yes, forgot our call pile system.
Sorry. That tracks for us. We are chaos.
You're an idiot. And you know what my favorite thing is? That I love the theory that she can't actually paint.
Oh my god. The internet.
I love that.
Literally, those memes are why I like the internet.
You can't read, you can't paint. I love that.
Like, I drew you a self-portrait, Reese. I finally painted. And just stick figure. And he's like, thanks, babe.
You know what I do like, though? I do love her, like, progression throughout the series. In the first book, though, I was like, I don't know. We talked a little bit about the sisters, which I just hated. I hated her whole side of the family. And, you know, Tamlin, I had a love-hate relationship with him in the first book, and I ended up loving him at the end of it.
Yeah.
You know? I feel like everyone loves Tamlin by the end of it. So, in this book, Tamlin was like, for me, I was like, I love Tamlin. And I was like, aww. Yeah. And I think I remember texting you, actually. Like, oh my god, Tamlin.
You did,
so
actually.
Cute.
And I was just going, hey, Gammy, like, why don't you get a Tamlin test? Yeah.
And we've gone full circle, folks.
Fantastic. No, so I just need to point out for those not watching on YouTube, the whole time she's talking about how people love Tamlin. By the end, Pooh and I are shaking our heads. I want to know why you didn't like Tamlin.
He was just so obviously, like, such a misogynistic dick. And I it's so weird, like, such a random highlight for me, but I guess not, because it showed, like, the difference in his and Feyre's character, but the part where the siren comes, and, like, you know your whole court is, like, struggling, no, she can't deliver, that bitch is dead, and, like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, what kind of leader are you, bro?
Yeah, I remember
horrible.
That
was the second book, but yes, that was horrible.
Yeah, I don't know.
That was
a Court of Mist and Fury.
Yep.
But it was, like, you're locked in the house, you can't go nowhere, and then when you find out, like, he set that shit up.
I think this is also the second book, though. right?
Except what? Oh, yeah, that's the second book.
Yeah.
I don't know. I read them all back to back, so yeah, I can't.
I do the same thing. It happens.
The first, like, why didn't you like him after the first book?
So, in the first book, I remember, like, thinking, okay, he's fine. He doesn't have, like, a ton of personality except for being tough man protector guy. And, like, that didn't work for me a lot. That's not, like, my trope that I gravitate towards. But I remember thinking he was fine. Like, he was a good generic fantasy, romantic-y male main character until the trials at the end, when what really, really rubbed me, and they actually pointed this out in the next book, this bothered the fuck out of me. Like, he has this one moment to, like, try and be alone with Feyre, and instead of trying to do anything, like, maybe help her in some way, shape, or form, try and get her out, literally anything, he's like, one last ride, baby, we fuck it. And I'm like, what the fuck? The
whole time. Meanwhile, you've been by this bitch's side the whole time. Don't tell me you didn't fucking know nothing.
Yeah.
You knew what was coming. You've been by her side the whole time. She won't let you leave because she thinks you're going to leave her again because she's obsessed with you. And you're going to tell me you don't know fucking nothing?
Yeah, it was, I forgot about that.
So annoying. And I know they were saying, like, Lucian was defending him the whole time when he went and visited her. He's like, he's not under a spell. He's just not talking so he doesn't betray anything. And I'm like, that bothered me. Like, okay, yeah, it works for the first book when we're still like Tamlin, he is the protagonist. Like, okay, we can accept that. But, like, it bothered me the whole time in the back of my head. I'm like, why the fuck isn't he talking? Like, I feel like he should be trying to defy her to support the woman that he claims he loves. But, like, and at the first opportunity.
Like, that was so annoying because the whole time in the trials, he was still under this spell. And then when she dies, you're alive, motherfucker.
Yeah.
When she's about to be dead, you're broke. Like, that what about part, when that fucking worm was about to eat her? Where the fuck were you?
No.
Where were you?
But hold on.
Sitting there silently.
Doesn't Lucian get in the thing with her when she has to read?
The second trial.
Brother, could you imagine? You're like, okay, this is gonna be easy. Like, she's gonna get us out of this
room. She just
needs
to read.
I don't know how.
Dude, Lucian's such a trooper.
he was my favorite character in the first book.
I remember reading when I forget who it is that explains Lucian's history. I think it might have been Tamlin, but like when he explains his history and talking about like how his former lover was killed by his dad and his brothers literally held him down while they did this. Yeah. I was like, this is a cool fucking character. Like, first of all, Sarah J. Maas, why do you do this to your characters? Like, oh my God, they're beautiful and tragic and awful. Literally. And I swear that is why she is such a prolific, not prolific, but like a well-loved author, is because her characters, you can't beat them. They're second to none.
They are really good characters. Yeah. They really make you feel things. And speaking of feeling things, Reese.
Oh
my God.
Good baby Reese.
Sarah. My heart. Okay, so like, okay, when I first read it, right, and she goes, oh my God, that is the most beautiful man I've ever seen. I'm like, bitch, no, you have Tamlin.
Yes.
Don't. And I was like, I don't like it. But there you are. I've been looking for you.
My whole heart.
Oh my God. And not understanding like the significance of it then, but like getting it eventually.
Oh my
that
God.
Was like such a smack in the face to me.
That.
Like she betrayed me.
Yep.
I like go through the whole beginning of the book, the whole first book, thinking like, oh my God, okay, so Tamlin and Feyre are meant to be. And like the way she switched that up and had obvious like drops in the book, and I'm just like, no, not about it. She's supposed to be with Tamlin. I'm not about it. Dude, that was insane for me. So, Reese, oh my God. And how come, like, and me, looking back, you dummy, I'm, like, reading this book, and I'm like, no, Tamlin. No. Not Reese. Tamlin. But then he's the only one trying to help her in the trials.
And it's so, like, this goes back to, like, my thing when it comes to characters who are portrayed or like described as clever but not actually portrayed. So Reese is fucking clever. Like the whole time, if you look at it externally, like it doesn't look like he's helping her at all, but like from Feyre's perspective, we can see it even when she can't because she's so like mentally fucked up going through all the horror that she is. Like we can see the crazy amount of effort that he's putting into not just keeping her alive and going and mentally stable, but like also covering his tracks so incredibly well.
I
loved that. It was brilliant writing.
Yes, I agree. I thought it was really good. Reese, like, in the first book, I still liked him, but I didn't want him to be with Feyre. I kept that mentality through the second book, too.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second book, I was just, once we got to the middle, I was like, oh my god, I've been wrong. Yeah. I was so wrong. But, like, I thought that was pretty impressive, though, that she was able to write these two characters that I mutually liked, Tamlin mm-hmm. and Rhys, and I found flaws in both of them.
Oh, yeah.
And then still, like, wanted Feyre and Tamlin to be together, and then by the end of the second book, I'm like, well, fuck Tamlin. Like, yeah. Absolutely not.
But, you know, I have to say, this is, we're going way out of the first book. I have to say, after finishing the series, Tamlin still sucks, but I don't hate him as vehemently as I did, yeah. like, second book, third book territory.
That's valid.
Like, towards the end of the third book, I was like, you still suck, but you tried.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, okay. Uh-huh. You have flaws. But that is what is so good. Like, the characters have flaws.
Yeah,
like,
there's no black and white characters.
No, and I love that. I love that so much. Mm-hmm. Are we forgetting anyone in this one?
Who else is super important in this? Alice. Can we talk about Alice? Because I loved her.
Yeah, go ahead.
I thought her mate, if you don't remember her name. Alice, like, I thought that was a really interesting transition. I think specifically how, I don't know how, and this is actually one thing that bugs me about this book. They never specifically talk about how they were, like, I don't know, glamoring everybody. It's a thing that's just kind of, like, glossed over. But the idea that all of the non-High Fae were, like, hiding from her view and the ones that had to be in her view were glamored to look like normal humans was really interesting to me. And I really liked Alice as a character. Like, I liked the way she took care of Feyre without babying her. I feel like that's what she needed coming from the situation she did. But I will say, more than anything else, Alice felt like a plot device more than a person, which is very atypical in Sarah J. Maas's writing.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's valid.
Alice, the fucking tea spiller.
Yeah.
She was the one, she took care of her. She was like her maid the whole time. She dressed her and like made sure she wasn't like hurting herself. Yeah. But like when Feyre leaves and goes back to the human realm and then comes back once she realizes, like, fuck, I love Tamlin. I need to be back here.
She had the nephews, didn't she? Yes. And she helped her leave.
Yes.
Yeah, and okay, I remember that.
Yeah, she comes back to the Fey realm and just tells, like, full exposition dumps on Feyre. And you're like, motherfucker. Okay.
Yeah. You know who we really need to talk about is, and now, it has been a while since I read this book, and I also did not brush up on it like I should have. The woman who had Rhys that entire time.
Amarantha?
Amarantha. I wanted to say that, but I was like, I feel like that's a different series. We need to talk about Amarantha.
We do need to talk about Amarantha.
Because,
okay.
So, I get Feyre's a little stupid. But the fact that she couldn't figure out.
Oh, the riddle!
The riddle! The fucking riddle!
Oh my god.
And then I'm just like, Amarantha, you're not smart. Because, what do you mean? This is the easiest fucking riddle.
So, yeah. I actually adore Amarantha as a character. I think she is, like, the perfect, pure evil, like, fucking batshit, maniacally crazy villain in the best way. Like, I loved reading about Amarantha. That fucking riddle, though, should be. Yeah.
I loved to hate her. And, like, that was, like, she made me so genuinely angry that I was like, good job.
She's a true mustache-twirling villain. Like, literally, the things with Jurian were, like, so diabolical. Sir Jim Boss, are you okay? Like, that's literally diabolical.
Where did you get that?
Literally, like, torturing him for days and then keeping him in some sort of evil suspended animation where, like, he just sees what you're doing. It's fucking crazy.
And that's insane. That's actually insane.
Oh my god. That was I loved it.
It was crazy.
I love that diabolical shit.
I loved just, like, her putting Feyre through these trials. Like,
yeah.
I thought that was, like, oh my god. And then the big Alaskan bullworm. Like, I really love that. That was the only I could picture. The big Alaskan bullworm from SpongeBob.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Yeah, that's all I can think of when she's like fighting this battle. I'm thinking of like Patrick saying, why don't we pick it up and move it over there? You know, when he's talking about saving the city.
See, that's I thought of Tremors.
Ooh, yes, the horror movie
with Kevin Bacon.
Oh, I don't know, Tremors.
You've never watched Tremors?
I don't think so.
It's okay, I haven't watched SpongeBob.
Yeah. What? What? What the fuck? You've never seen SpongeBob?
I've never seen it, honestly. But I didn't watch a lot of SpongeBob. I was a Disney Channel kid.
SpongeBob?
I was too busy getting the best of both worlds.
SpongeBob?
Love you, Liz, but Disney Channel, bro.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. It was way fucking better than Disney.
I'm not saying it wasn't. I'm just saying SpongeBob.
It's SpongeBob. Oh my god.
Sorry.
If you want to watch it, it's on Paramount Plus.
I am what I am.
I'm sweating. I'm so angry right now. SpongeBob.
Bro, you've gotten so angry that your friend hasn't watched SpongeBob that you just sweat.
Yeah, like I'm about to make you watch it. We're going to have a marathon. Anyway, are we good with characters? Should we move on?
I think we covered the big ones.
Yeah, they're pretty
good. So atmosphere is next, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I loved it. Like, I loved the poor little, like, human world, and I loved the, like, realness of that. So then to go to this, like, drastically different Spring Court where everything's beautiful and high fae and, like, I thought that was really nice. I loved it. And then what?
I just thought of something.
A SpongeBob?
Oh, no. Anyway. Is it a SpongeBob reference?
Then,
no, it's not.
Like, even down to the trials at the end and when they're under the mountain, like, that to me was mm-hmm. also, like, suspenseful. It was, like, I could picture every part of it, and it was so nice. Like, I really thoroughly enjoyed it. And atmosphere for me was, like, 10 out of 10. Like,
oh, yeah.
I enjoyed the atmosphere.
It was sure. incredibly cool, the world. I think it had enough, like, history to it that it was intriguing. I really, like you mentioned, the downtrodden human world was super, super cool. I liked the vibes of the courts and the way they were described. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say in this book specifically, the Spring Court sounded so ideal and fantastic to me. Like, we live in a part of the world where we get all four seasons. Like, Eternal and Spring's my favorite season. So Eternal Spring sounds really great for me until you start thinking about it more. Once I got to the second book, I was like, you know what? After, like, maybe a year of this, I think I would get sick of the same season. Like, that feels unnatural to me, and maybe that's kind of intentional. What do you guys think?
What do you think about that?
You're something about SpongeBob, aren't you?
You have something to say. What do you have to say?
There's this fucking meme that's supposed to... It's so stupid, but it's supposed to be Cassian when he goes to the Spring Court. You know,
oh,
he's
like running with the allergies. Yeah. I've seen that.
Every time I think of it, like, that's me. I have really bad seasonal allergies. Yeah. So when I think of Spring Court, all I think of is, like, these terrible fucking allergies. Like, I don't want to deal with that all year.
That's valid.
That's valid.
Yeah.
So I thought the Spring Court and Tamlin being not as great as they seem. Mm-hmm. On the surface, and how that plays into it later. I thought that was really cool, and I hope it was intentional.
Yeah.
Because, like, we're first only shown, like, the Spring Court and Tamlin, and we're like, oh my god, this is amazing. This is the best thing Feyre's ever gonna get. Mm-hmm. She's been taken from poverty, and now she's in this beautiful castle where it's literally bright and beautiful and sunny all the time, and she has this gorgeous man who is protective and handsome, and oh my god, this is amazing. But then, yeah, like, eventually you're like, wait a minute. Like, you pass that surface level, and you're like, okay, so Tamlin and the Spring Court are, like, not at mm-hmm. all what they seem. That's kind of crazy. So, yeah, I like that, and I hope that was intentional on her part, you know?
Yeah. I'm gonna quote a friend of mine. My friend Tyler is a very talented writer, and when we were coming up with the D&D world, he used the term a veneer of opulence, and I fucking love it. Like, I love the idea that this, like, world seems so perfect and, like, manicured, and, like, everything seems gilded and spectacular and beautiful and the best you could ever see. But, like, if you look a little closer, you kind of see the rot that's underneath it all.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that's the perfect, I don't know, phrase for this world. Like, it seems so perfect, but the closer you look, like, you see the issues he has with the way he rules, and, like, the fact that he really isn't a leader in the way that you need a High Lord to be. He's a protector, he's a warrior, and that's what he was trained to be. He wasn't supposed to be the High Lord. So, like, it makes sense.
Yeah. Shout out to you, Tyler. We love you. Yeah. That was great.
He's got the best one-liners in the world.
I don't think I never was like, oh, Spring Court, awesome. You know what I mean? Like, I never fell in love with the court.
Really?
Never. And I was actually upset, like, the further in the series you got, because I, like, when you see, like, the siren and stuff, it was just like, wow. So, like, she's there all this time, all these boring-ass fucking pages. And I know shit was glamour, but it was like, I feel like you, like, I couldn't appreciate it enough, because I feel like you, like, I never, like, it seemed like you never got to see it all.
Yeah.
Like, it almost seemed like you never got see all the different characters and species that live there and stuff. So, I don't know. It never really, like, I never loved it.
Yeah. I think that was intentional, at least in the first, no, definitely in the second book, because they were literally trying to keep Feyre cornered off in the manor.
Yeah.
But, for like, sure. I think you're right. Like, seeing the rest of the court would have made me fall in love with them more, but we never got to see that because we're trapped in Feyre's perspective.
Yeah. Do you think we hit on atmosphere?
Oh, I think we hit atmosphere.
What's next?
Writing style.
Ooh, okay.
Let's talk about this, because I've been ready to talk about Sergio Moss's writing since the fucking intro episode. I hope
you guys will all get comfortable.
I'll go last.
Okay. I will go first then. Writing style. This was my first jump into, like, romantasy. So for me, I didn't really know what I was looking for. I didn't really know what to expect. So when I first read the book, I was like, yeah, this is amazing. Since reading so many different fantasy books and romantasy books and different authors, I even like read through Throne of Glass, which I think had a lot of similar writing issues, and I think you've expressed that. I at first thought that her writing was spectacular, and I've come to the conclusion that it's actually not that great. It's not that great.
Welcome to the dark side.
I will say that what she does well in terms of her writing is that she writes incredible characters, and that some of her world building falls a little flat. She has these significant time periods of just extreme lulls followed by the most heart-wrenching fucking pages in the end of the book. So she like really makes us suffer to then have the end be like the most soul-crushing thing I've ever written. I want more balance from you, Sarah. I would like for you to write something that is interesting throughout and then kill me. Like, rip my heart out of my body and stomp on it, because that's what you do anyway. So give me an interesting story throughout and don't make me beg for it. My thoughts.
You have never been hotter to me.
I love you. But what did you think about her writing style?
I agree. I think she's really good at writing, I would say, like, characters, but I think the reason you fall in love with the characters is the way she can write them devastating, you know, spots that really, like, pull you empathetic to the characters. But outside of them spots, I just feel like it like, her writing falls flat, you know? She's not good at, I feel like there's always going to be lulls, you know? Kind of like a little bit of a buildup. But you have to know how to write them to keep them interesting, you know? Mm-hmm. And I don't feel like she was good at them lulls. Like, it took me a while to finish this book.
Who will, like, wait until we're almost done a book to start it?
Yeah.
Because she's going to catch up.
Yeah,
so
I'm
quickly.
A binge reader. Yeah. I read shit straight through. And it was just like, after that, mm-hmm. the rest of the series, as soon as I finished one, I picked up the other. But,
It wasn't until the end, though, that it was, like, interesting enough to like keep my attention. Mm-hmm.
And that first one, it took me a long time. Yeah. I think like 75% through before I was like, all right, I'm just gonna hammer it out.
Yeah.
So I don't know. She's good at them crazy plot twists, them devastating moments, but she's not great at the in between.
The entire story.
Yeah.
Yes.
I love you guys both so much right now. I have been so annoying to these two poor women who were new to the romanticy thing. Well, were new to the romanticy thing when they first started this book club, about how their writing annoys me. So here's the thing. Like these two both said, I genuinely think that Sarah J. Maas writes the best characters that I've ever written, bar none. Like, they're so engaging. They're so well-rounded. Like, not a single character is black or white. Like, you can love absolutely everything about a character and still find flaws within them. Yeah. And I think that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. It's so engaging. It makes you literally just like, God, you just would die if these characters were real, because you want them to be your best friends or more. Hey, Reese. But like, so, but my thing with her writing, more.
That's not until the end, though.
I don't know if I could date another blonde woman. It would be a whole thing. Anyway, but
I can date any woman. Just kidding.
My number is 1, 2, 3.
She's not kidding. She's so good.
Yeah. But my issue when it comes to her writing style, and this is an issue I have with a lot of romantic writers, is the characters are fantastic. The plot exists just to give these characters a framework. Like, the plot is very, very secondary to the point where it shows. Like, this is the most generic fuck the humans plot. Like, that's literally the whole plot, is this one guy doesn't like humans and wants to get rid of them, so they fight a war about it. And I don't... you can do generic evil mustache twirling bad guy and like still have a really, really interesting plot that these characters have to go on. I felt like nothing fucking happened in these books. Like, I know they fought a whole war, but it just...
But it was secondary.
Yeah. And I'm sorry. I like my books to have plot. That's just my personal request. It's funny because
you said war and I was like, what war?
Yeah!
I was like, where was the war?
Exactly!
But then I'm like, oh yeah. Then
when one whole book is literally titled War and Ruin.
It's the list. I'm like, yeah.
And this actually, you know what?
That's why we're doing this.
Yeah, I know we're doing ACOTAR, but like the fact that we haven't even thought to mention Highburn, the big bad guy of this entire monster series, is crazy to me. Like, her villains... With the exception of Amarantha, because I genuinely do think Amarantha was a fucking fantastic villain, if a little generic. Like, Highburn is just a bad guy to throw, like, hatred at. He's got no personality, no motivation. Like, except for life was easier when we had slaves. Like,
yeah.
Hot take.
Yeah, dog. Like, congratulations. But Fantasy Hitler exists, and his name is Highburn. But it's...
Love that description.
Yeah, like, it's... I don't know. I just have issues with the lack of plot substance.
Yeah.
The characters are good enough that I fully enjoy these books and I love it, but sometimes that bugs me.
Yeah. Yeah, I think even the war moments that you see, like, they're all about, like, you know, the characters. Like, highlighting their honor and their relationships.
Yeah.
It's never really about, like, the war and we're going to save everybody, you know, like, with, like, then, Feyre, and I think I'm thinking of the right series, I hope, but she doesn't want to leave when he comes. Remember, like, Rhys is like, you know, you have to leave, you're human.
Yeah.
And she's like, I'm not leaving my people, you know? But it was just to show, like, oh, she's so honorable, she's so great, which...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It really felt like the war was, like, a stage for these characters to exist upon. Like, it had no bearing on a lot to me.
Who would like to talk about the next thing?
Fantastic.
What's next?
Plot!
Oh, well, we talked about plot.
I feel like we covered plot pretty much. There isn't one.
No, there is none.
No, there's a plot. I mean, I feel like ACOTAR had more plot than the rest of the damn series.
The first one did.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Was a lot of, like, for the most part, just the end. But
there's like a lot of world building.
Yeah. I actually, you know, this is ironic as this is one of my least favorite books in the series, but I think ACOTAR had the most interesting plot out of all of the books. Mm-mm. Yeah. Maybe not Silver Flames.
Yeah, because I think that
Silver Flames might be tied. But, like, literally, the whole time I was reading it, I thought this was so stupid. Like, all of these plot conveniences. Like, she killed the fairy. Now she gets to live here because this fairy's hot. And she literally just, like, wrote that for no reason. But I did like the, like, Amarantha being written as a blight, like, being hidden as a blight. That's how they were explaining it to her. I thought that was really interesting. And... the whole thing, like, coming together in the end really was great for me, but this might just be a me thing. If you're going to have, like, a mystery going on and something that's being explained to your characters, like, in a way that they don't know what's going on, but it should be clear to the readers that something more is going on, I feel like there weren't enough hints dropped in this book that, like, the blight was more than that, that there was somebody, like, overarching until all of a sudden it's like... Alice comes in and is like, nope, just kidding. We've been lying to you this whole time. It's Amarantha.
Surprise.
Yeah, that I liked the overarching plot. I just wish there had been more hints leading up to it. But I also understand that she was fairly young when she wrote these, wasn't she? 10 years ago.
Well, yeah, but I mean, she had Throne of Glass first.
She did. She did.
And that was like a heavy, heavy series.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I don't really think there's an excuse.
Yeah, she was not a new writer at that time. You're right.
Yeah.
That's a list take.
That's fine. I mean, I've talked about my thoughts on the plot. Pooh thinks that there wasn't any.
Other than the last 25%.
No, there wasn't. It was just on vibes.
I did like the world building, though.
Yeah. What's I get next? That. intrigue.
Ooh. All of the intrigue around Reese existed, okay?
For sure.
It existed. Let me see that wingspan, baby.
I actually, yeah, I'm with you. I don't think there was enough intrigue in the beginning. I think that was kind of the point with the plot being an issue for me. Like, it needed more hints dropped at what was actually going on throughout, like, the 70% of the book in the beginning. But the last 30%, like, the intrigue of what was really going on, the riddle that was very mysterious. I'm doing air quotes around that for those not watching on YouTube.
Well, I mean, she couldn't even fucking read, so I guess that was hard. Like, I guess.
No,
I fucking love
listen,
that.
Listen, I'm
read.
Idiot at riddles. Like, I don't know why I'm terrible at riddles. Even my dumbass got that.
Yeah.
It's like, bro, it's love. It's love.
Love. I can't get over the reading thing. Like, I love that, because when do you ever see a writer do that?
Writers
are usually readers, she's so they beautiful. Always, like, they but always love dumb. It. But it's like,
like, Sarah was legit like, okay, I'm going to write a really beautiful, like, devastating woman who cannot read. And heats
like
up
a can
canned,
of soup. Like,
cans
same
up
vibes.
Soup. Heats canned soup. Bitch,
same vibes.
I hate that fucking part so much. So
you don't
much.
Like the soup?
No, I fucking hate the soup. I hate the soup. I, like I hate that this bitch felt privileged enough to paint all over this cabin.
That shit pissed me off too.
You're like in this too. Cabin that has nothing to do with you, and you're yeah, like, when she, anyone has a spot here but me.
When she painted it,
the paint.
Yeah, when
everything.
She painted it, I was like, bitch, he literally told you this is like a family vacation spot. How fucking dare you?
Guys, that's the next book.
I know. I'm sorry, but I cannot.
I brought it up.
Camels.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I brought it up.
A can of Campbell's, and you ruined my home. Bitch, get
it was
out.
Clearly not Campbell's. It was clearly a fantasy brand, you idiot.
Get out.
Fantasy TM soup.
But, like, okay. Yeah.
It's literally, though, like,
sorry.
Bitch, what can you do?
That's
you can
the next
hunt,
book.
That's it.
I
the fuck?
You
can't read,
about.
You can't cook, you can hunt, that's it.
She can paint stick figures.
She can kind of paint.
Kind of.
Yeah. What's next?
Logic and relationships.
Oh, fuck.
This book, so here's another list take. I am a whore for a good
just,
magic system.
No,
just in general. Just no, I am like, dude, I am feral for a good, well-explained, logically thought-out magic system. There isn't one here.
No, it's really just like, this is what my magic does.
It does whatever the fuck I need it to do, and that shit bugs me.
Yeah.
Like,
I
want to
understand, like, the glamour. Like,
yeah.
What do you mean?
They just, like,
because remember, don't they glamour, they try and glamour Feyre from Reese when he shows up?
Yeah.
And
yeah, behind the curtains.
Behind the curtains is crazy. I just, like, he's a high fae. He's so
literally
smart.
Literally the most powerful.
The literal most powerful.
And you guys push this bitch behind some curtains.
He's never going to do. They talk about how they can, like, scent each other, too.
Yes.
And you're like, if she's behind a curtain, he can't smell her.
So, like, that's what I'm talking about. Like, just, where's the logic in that,
yeah.
Sarah?
I don't know. I feel like, why do I always defend these books to you guys, even though you guys like them more than me? But no, like, I feel like, jokes aside with that, like, they were literally described as having, like, a tiny fraction of their power. So maybe, like, and you can't do nothing unless you're Tamlin and you have 2 seconds alone with Feyre in the mountain. Like, you can't do nothing. So, like, he tried to do the best he could with what he had and, like, put her behind the curtain.
Yeah, I guess.
But no, the magic bothered me in this book because it's just never
explained.
Yeah, but you know what? I don't necessarily need my magic systems explained to me as long as they make sense throughout. And I don't think these do. I think it's literally like the magic does what I need it to do.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Like, hey, this is how I deceived you.
Mm-hmm.
The relationships, though. Like, the logic might be one thing, but the relationships, like, these were amazing. But then again, that, like, goes back to her writing characters.
Yes.
The characters are amazing, so their relationships are, like, dynamic. They're ever-changing, they're growing, they're constantly evolving, and, like, that is good.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to read a book with, like, vibes, ACOTAR is, like, the one for you. There's some plot there. There's some intrigue there. But really, the characters are just, like, and their relationships, they're just incredible. Mm-hmm. Like, Lucien and Tamlin. Rhysand and Tamlin.
Yeah.
Like, these relationships, even just, like, between minor characters, is just, like, incredible.
One thing you do, at least I think you do definitely have to give them a lot of credit for, is a very common issue with, like, new writers is putting their characters in situations and then having them make decisions that they think make sense for the plot that, if you think about that character's motivations and what makes them tick, wouldn't make sense for that character to, like, do the thing. I never feel that way with Sarah J. Maas's characters, except in the novella, but that's a different thing. Like, I always feel like the decisions they make absolute perfect sense for who these characters are and what their motivations are. And that's something that does a lot for me when it comes to the logic of a book. Like, if a character is doing shit for plot contrivance, then I'm like, I'm out. I'm not paying attention anymore. Like, I no longer trust that this writer is doing things the way that, like, I want, not that I want them to be done, but, like, in a way that makes logical sense to
natural.
Me.
Natural, yeah.
Yes. They always do, like, if you think about Tamlin's motivations, like, he's a protector. He, like, wants to protect his people. He wants to protect Feyre. Like, everything he does, no matter how shitty it is, can be tracked back to that. And, like, that is the decision that I would assume that he would make in the situation he was put in.
That's valid.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Last but not least, enjoyment.
Aww. I enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. I struggled through the beginning, but by the end, like, genuinely enjoyed this book. You can tell by my rating. I swear I'm not usually, like, a high rater like this. It just so happens that we talk about the books that I just really enjoy.
Yeah.
So, mind you, like, I promise I do give lower ratings, but if we're, like, actively talking about it, that means we, for the most part, mm-hmm. enjoyed it. Or at least two of the three enjoyed it. You know what I mean?
A few of the books on the docket coming up you're not a fan of.
I know. So you guys will see. Like, I'm not just, like, an easy writer here. But I did enjoy this book. I enjoyed it so much. And it devastated me. Like, the entire series, like, I know we're just talking about the first book. But with this book, we have to take into account the series. Because it is just incredible. And it just really, like, being my first jump into, like, the fantasy and romantasy world, like, it is just a baby to me. It is, like, a treasure that I get to hold so close because the experience of, like, reading that and then getting to talk to you about it and, like, sending you all of my feelings. And, like, I was actually gutted by this book. And this, like, I remember I'm, like, sitting on the couch. Josh comes home from work. And I'm just crying. He's, like, crying, okay? Because the series was just so good and I loved it so much.
Yeah.
So enjoyment for me was amazing. Obviously. Absolutely. 10 out of 10 on enjoyment. Loved it.
Yeah.
Loved it. And I loved the smut. I did love the smut.
Oh my god.
The smut is so good. We didn't even talk about it. We need
You know what? In this book, it's just okay.
Really?
I think it was just okay. Yeah. Because it's, like, barely mentioned in this book. I feel like parts of it were hotter than the actual smut.
Yeah, but, okay, when I talk about smut, like, I mean, like, the buildup. I mean the sexual tension, the sexual chemistry. Not just, like, the actual act of, like, how they describe the sex.
Yeah.
But for me, like, what makes it and, like, seals it is the leading up to the after and, like, everything in between. So for me, this was, like, hot. It was, like, an enemies to lovers. And everyone knows I love that. You know what I mean? So I know, but it's an enemies to lovers to enemies, which...
I don't think they were really enemies.
What?
I didn't get... I mean, like, Feyre didn't like him. I wouldn't call them enemies. In my opinion.
Okay.
This didn't give me enemies to lovers.
I mean, yeah, it's not, like, a true, but that's the vibe. He came in, stole her from her fucking home. He was like, bitch, you're coming with me. And she's like, no, I will to save my family, but for no other reason. And then she eventually is like, wait, I would totally suck your dick right now. And then, you know what I mean? And I feel like that's how enemies to lovers happen.
No, I don't know. I don't get enemies to lovers from this. But going back, I feel like we should change call pile to call piles and add smut as a bottom category.
Yeah, I agree.
So that's a thing.
That's a good idea.
But yeah, what do you think, Pooh? Do you remember the smut? Like, her and Tamlin? You don't remember? Fantastic.
No.
What you guys know enjoyment? I read a lot worse than a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
More eye-catching smut than what happens in these books. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't really remember the smut at all. I think, literally, for the smut, I remember the fucking hallway scene. And I remember thinking, like, fuck yeah, he's going to rail her against the wall. It's going to be awesome. And then it doesn't happen. And I'm just like, oh, okay. And that's all I remember for smut. That's it.
I literally remember about this book being like, oh, her and Tamlin had sex. That's nice. And then, like, literally, she's like dressed in this gauzy stuff and she's got the paintings all over her. And Reese is like, I only touch you on your waist. I'm like, that is 10 times hotter than like than those two having sex.
We can't talk about Reese because I'm going to get hot.
We don't talk about Reese. No.
Did you enjoy it? What was your enjoyment?
It was all right. I'll read it again when I reread the whole series. Yeah, like overall, I didn't enjoy most of it. So it made, like, you know what I mean? It's kind of hard for me to say enjoyment when, like, I feel like only the end was worth reading.
Yeah.
I feel like most of it was useless. But the series was good as a whole. Took me all the way to the end to find my favorite. But the rest, you know, I do feel like, though, outside of that book, there were spots in that series that just fell for me a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, there were some spots that kind of got dragged on. And I'm resident romance reader here. And still, I was just, at some point, even later down the line, her and Reese, I was just like, shut the fuck up and move on.
Oh, my God.
You know what I mean? Like, just shut up and move on, you know? But, that's fair.
I got way towards the third book. I was like, okay.
No, yeah. I could have read six more books.
Come on.
Yeah. I was like, all right. But you know, if something interesting were to happen in the plot, I would probably be a lot more invested.
I don't like super cushy, sweet, you know, romance.
True. It's not my favorite. That's
not it's like, I like it when you have it in there, but like, that's why I like the stuff like the mafias and stuff, because it's a mix. So it's at some point it's not all that.
Tension makes the smut read hotter.
Yeah. And also I don't know. Their relationship, it was just kind of like, what the fuck is this? What the fuck is this? Like, God. You guys just like each other all the time?
I don't know.
Go to therapy. It's not even that, but it felt like the parts where she got mad at him, it was just like, for what? You know? Mm-hmm. With Tamlin, though, like, every time she got mad, it was like, yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, bitch, you fed him cancer, we didn't get mad. Like,
that's crazy.
Bitch, you fed him canned
soup.
I can't get over that.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Liz, how is your enjoyment? I'm going to cut this bitch off.
Before she gets too rage-induced. No, so I read it and was like, what the fuck, TikTok? What the fuck, TikTok? And then I got to the end of it. I was like, what the fuck, TikTok? Because I actually loved the ending. And I will say, I actually remember specifically, I was reading this on vacation. I was in Florida and we had all these fun things planned and then it rained the whole time, so we couldn't do anything. So the only reason I finished it as fast as I did, it was because I was stuck inside and I was like, okay. And then I finally got to the ending and I was like, I can't wait to tear into the rest of the series. So I think overall, I enjoyed it, but like it was the last 30% of the book.
That's fair. That's fair.
Yeah.
It's valid.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's valid.
Yeah.
Guys.
I think we did it.
We did it. Oh, ACOTAR. It has my heart. Yeah. Guys. It really started our book club. Which, it just means so much to me.
You know what I love about this book? If you find another human being who has read ACOTAR, you're immediately best friends.
Yeah. I would agree with that. Especially, like, okay. So, I don't want to hear shit from the ACOTAR haters out there, because I feel like there's some of you out there who just love to hate the book for no reason, babe. Okay?
Because it's popular. There's some people like,
It's popular to hate popular things.
So I don't like it. I'm not one of those girls. Here, we are those girls, okay? We are girls. We love the things that other girls love, okay? So, like,
but
come on.
We can still have issues with them while loving them.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, we can understand that Sarah J. Maas may sometimes be problematic, right? And, like, that her views...
Is she? I haven't heard that.
Yeah, something about Palestine.
Oh, dear God.
But, like, we can separate the book from the author at times, and really
we have to. I know that whole art versus artist thing is a whole really complicated debate, but I would be so sad if I couldn't do anything in the Harry Potter universe again.
Like, yeah, like, I mean, at what point does it end, you know what I mean?
At P. Diddy, somewhere around there.
Yeah, that's probably valid. I don't love Sarah J. Maas. I don't love her, but I do love her characters, and I do love these stories. So, we did it, guys.
I love this. And I think, you know, this book is what really launched it all. And I think it was really fun to be able to talk about it.
Yeah.
It's such an important milestone. Like 10 years ago, this book came out, guys. That's kind of crazy.
And I can't believe, like, I just read it. I read it 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. Read it in 2023. And that just, like...
That's what started the podcast. Yeah, it was GNL podcast, and then it was
GNL
GLMP.
Yep. And now
we're O&O.
Opinionated. So, yeah, definitely.
I was set up for this.
Yeah. I was like, oh my god, you're reading that fucking
betrayal. You know, I was set up.
You know,
I wouldn't have even finished this if it wasn't for you guys.
No.
Literally.
She's like, I fucking hated it. Next show.
Just, yeah. Thank you. Next. I am the soundboard.
Come here, guys. Give me huggies. I love you guys. I love you guys. With that, gotta go. Come on.
Thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys so much for checking out this latest episode. We had a ton of fun talking about one of our absolute favorite books of all times. Even if it's not the book itself, it's about the vibes.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And don't forget, May is Brain Cancer Awareness Month. In May, we wear gray to support Emily, okay? Love you so much, Em.
We love you guys.
Bye.
Bye. You're going to do some dumb shit now, aren't you?
No.
Oh.
But I do got to piss.
All right. Don't make me dance to a tune that you're humming. No, my body don't move like that. Don't make me pretend I don't see your shortcomings. You'll be running when I raise the black flag. Hello, fellow book club members. Thank you guys so much for listening to our second ever episode. We had so much fun recording this episode about ACOTAR, the book that started it all. And you know what? This one, it really not only started the podcast and the book club, but it somehow united our very different reading styles in this truly magical, very unhinged way. Hey, you might have noticed our audio quality is way better this week. That's because I spent a ridiculous amount of time learning absolutely everything I can about podcasting and audio engineering. Yes, that's the correct term. I Googled it. And I'm finally starting to get the hang of it. A little bit. But a quick heads up, we actually switched gears in our recording schedule to slide this ACOTAR episode in early for the 10-year anniversary, and like the true overbooked girlies we are, we batch record to make this all work. So the next three episodes you'll hear were recorded using my second round of setup upgrades. They're better than our Onyx Storm debut, thank God, but there's still some audio funk that I couldn't totally fix. Thank you guys again so much for sticking with us while we learn, grow, and slowly improve one chaotic episode at a time. Here's the good stuff. You can find all of our spicy opinions on our socials. We are on Instagram at overbooked.opinionated. We are on TikTok at overbookedopinion and on Facebook at overbookedandopinionated. We have a website where you can find all of our episodes. We are overbookedandopinionated.com. And finally, you can find us on Fable, where our book club has lived ever since before we were a podcast. Fable is a social reading app where you can share your thoughts on books and find new ones. And we absolutely love it. We are not sponsored. And before we go, I just want to take a moment to recognize once again that May is Brain Cancer Awareness Month. We are wearing gray in May for our friend Emily, and thank you guys for the overwhelming love and support that she's received. Her GoFundMe has actually reached its goal since recording the episode on Monday and me recording this outro today on Wednesday. It's no longer active. Her custom t-shirts have also since sold out. However, if you're able, we would love you to consider donating to the National Brain Tumor Society this month in support of Emily and anyone who's ever been affected by brain tumors. We love you, Em, and we love all of you guys for being here. Finally, if you've made it to the end of the episode, you are absolutely my kind of people. Please consider rating and reviewing the show and sharing it with a friend who needs more chaos, romance, and fictional red flags in their life. And until next time, may you find your very own Bat Boy with an impressive wingspan, an enemies to lovers attitude, and a cabin deep in the woods with a very convenient magical cleaning. See you next week. Don't make me dance to the tune that you're humming.